is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This is only a test.
DJs and MCs.
Listen to this disc jockey's introduction to
DJs and a mic with your host, DJ Mike.
Is that a timetable?
And DJ JP.
Well, get on it. It's your time.
Give me the mic.
And that music does it to me every time. But welcome to another edition, or special edition, of Two DJs and One Mic.
Yes, sir.
With the infamous DJ JP and myself, the modest DJ Mike.
Whatever.
We're blessed to be sitting here with one of the members of Midwest DJ Live, the great Rich Lane.
How you doing, sir?
Well, what I learned so far is I need to get my own open.
yes
to control the information.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you guys talking with me tonight. How are you?
We're doing great.
Good. We're doing good.
Yes, it's totally an honor to be on with you. But before we go any farther, let us thank some of our esteemed platinum
sponsor.
So let us go no farther but to make that happen.
Yes, we, of course, every show, every advertising, we have to thank our platinum sponsor, Two DJs and One Mic's platinum sponsor, Curator Live, the number one photo booth software featuring customization, easy setup, share options, printing, analytics, and cloud-based storage. You can reach Curator Live by phone at 800-708-0247, email info@curatorlive.com. Make sure you tell James we sent you. Let them know Two DJs and One Mic is a supporter of Curator Live, Photo Booth in 360.
Yes, great support.
James is a
wonderful person. Look forward to seeing him soon.
Yep. So first question we're going to ask is, how did Midwest Live DJs come about? I mean, DJs Live come about?
Well, long before I was involved in it, about 16 years ago, some guys in the Milwaukee area literally decided they wanted to get to know each other and share some information about gear and see how things worked. And they got together in a garage and, sort of hung out. And from there, decided maybe they wanted to do this a little more formally. And they grew the group. And over the next couple years, they got together at a restaurant, bowling alley, I think it was. And a couple of them DJed, played some music. They looked at some gear. They talked. They shared information, got to know each other. And it's really just grown from there. They started, there's a bunch of guys in the Milwaukee area that were originally involved in it. One of the guys is a guy named Big Ron, who the spinoff that we have each year at Midwest DJs Live is named after. Some other guys, Alan, Rob, and a bunch of other people that really put it together and had the vision to make it happen. And here we are in year 16, and we're a full-fledged nonprofit group. And we have a board, and we take your money in the form of buying a ticket, and we take all of those dollars and invest it back into creating what we think is a great conference. A couple days of education and networking and hanging out with each other and getting to talk to people that you want to talk to and learning things about the business that we're all in. And that's kind of what it's all about. So humble beginnings, and we still feel like we're kind of in a place that's humble, but a lot bigger production than it was at one time.
Man, 16 years, that's a long time.
That's good. Tried and true.
Yeah, how many years have you been with?
I think this is my sixth or seventh. I got involved. I went to Midwest DJs Live a couple times. I live in North Carolina, so certainly not in the Midwest, but I went a few times as an attendee. And then I got involved on the board, helping put the show together. First job I had was I was the secretary, and you know, help keep things running during the meetings and stuff like that. And but I've done a couple of things. I've been working with the education that we put together on the stage for a few years, and then this year I'm serving as the president of the board. So you know, we just have a lot of people that put time and effort in and give up a lot of time. It does probably about as much time as you guys put into your podcast. You know, there's a lot of the behind the scenes work that it takes. But you know, we all have a defined role, but everybody really pitches in and does a lot of different things. So that's the long answer. Short answer is, I guess, about 6 or 7 years.
Okay. And this is your first year as president?
Yeah, this first time I've been president. 2 years prior, I was the education vice president, you know, and helped put together what the education content looked like. So, and Mitch Taylor, who's been involved in the show longer than I have, he's now in the role of immediate past president, but that doesn't mean he gets to do any less work. We still keep him with plenty to do.
Yes, there's always a role for you.
Always. Yeah. But we will like to say congratulations on, you know, being the president. And we're honored. It was great meeting you in Vegas.
Yes.
You know, we shared some, you know, great conversation. And we appreciate you giving us the invite.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Even though it was
a little bit of serendipity, wasn't it? I mean, we didn't know each other, but we ended up being next to each other.
Oh yeah,
for a few hours on the show floor at the Mech show, and I just watched you guys do what you do, getting people excited about being there, and I'm just glad we could put it together. I mean, I want to thank you on behalf of Midwest DJs Live. You know, helping us get the word out on the show and helping to promote us this year. And, you know, we're going to be excited about having you at the show this coming weekend and being there. And I'm sure you're going to get to meet a lot of other great people that don't make it out to some of the other places that you've been and some of the presenters and speakers that we have. I know you'll get them involved with the show. So it's going to be a good time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We look forward to it. We really do look forward to it.
This is one of Mike's favorite questions right here.
Oh, yes. So what does education mean to you in reference to the DJ industry?
What does it mean to me?
Yeah.
Well, I think it means an on-ramp to being more successful. I think that's what it means.
What a great answer. I like that. An on-ramp to more success.
I think that, you know, it's an odd business that we're in. I mean, the fact that we have Facebook and, you know, all the things that have happened as the internet has grown, and, you know, you can see people doing lots of things that before it took coming together physically to do. But there's still nothing like getting together and learning from other people. Not only the presenters, but the people that you meet at the conference. I always walk away from every event, even as long as I've been doing this, with some new information, some new friends, some new people that I can talk to. And I think even beyond something that you learn, you develop some relationships that later on in the year, when you need to talk to somebody, when you need some support, when you need a reminder about what that idea was that you talked about, that's where the real value, I think, comes together of knowing people across the country or across North America to, you know, really learn something and have somebody to rely on. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we get back home from these things. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are, you know, single ops or small multi-ops even. You know, we don't have a lot of people to talk to about our business. So finding people that, you know, you can trust and can get to know and can learn from, I think that's where the real value comes from. I think probably when you say education, a lot of people think about, oh, well, the guys that are up on stage, you know, giving me advice or presentations or some nuggets or whatever that you want to take away from those talks. And I think those are super important, too. I think it sets the tone for what goes on. But you can learn so much just from the people that you're around.
And hallway conversations, lunchroom conversations, all of this stuff.
Yes, sir.
So we'll get to this one real quick. What can the attendees expect from the 2024 Midwest DJs live conference? What are some things we can expect?
It's going to be a great show. I mean, it's a combination of, some great presenters that we're going to have out there. And then some time that we've set aside for people to get together. We have some nightlife designed for Sunday night and Monday night, the two nights that most folks will be staying there with us in Milwaukee. So we've got that going on. We also have, I listened hard, the board listened hard to some feedback that we got a few years ago about some people said, we're going to these DJ shows and a lot of them, we don't talk about anything having to do with DJs. What happened to the actual work that we do as a DJ? So we went back and kind of designed some mini workshops that happen within the conference. So these are not things you have to pay extra for, but we're going to have more of a hands-on, smaller group. Everybody will get to go through all three of the workshops that we have, an MC skills workshop, a lighting workshop, and a DJ skills workshop. And so you'll get to experience all three of those over the course of the 2 days, in addition to what's coming from stage. So we think that's real valuable time as well. So a lot to look forward to. I mean, I think it's a power-packed couple of days. We put on the accelerator as far as providing content goes. From the time we start until the end of the day, there'll be something for you to do and learn at Midwest.
Okay, so of course I've done my homework. I know Brian is teaching a lighting class. Bill is doing the MC class. Who's doing the DJ class?
Yeah, so we have three headliner DJs that are playing one night for entertainment. And we got a guy that's now out of New York City named DJ Even Steve. And so he'll be doing the tours.
Okay, cool. Can't wait to meet him. Hadn't heard of him, but definitely looking forward to it.
Look forward to talking to him.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Hopefully he can sit down with us for a little bit too and talk to us.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love to. He's a great guy, very talented, and you'll be amazed at some of the stuff that he can do as a DJ. You'll want to go home and try to practice it. So
practice it.
Yeah. We're talking about practice. Practice.
You gotta stay in there practicing, staying up on the skills and learning all the new technology and different things that these controllers and stuff they got out there these days. But we forgot to ask a very serious question, and then we're not gonna hold you long because we know you're busy, you're still trying to prepare for the show. But to tell us a little bit about you, when did the DJ bug bite you? How long have you been in the industry? Tell us about what you do up there in North Carolina.
What's the industry mean? I started in one way or another being a DJ when I was about 14 years old. So,
how long ago was that?
How long ago was that, Rich?
Because some people may think that you're 21.
No one thinks that. That was over 40 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I used to listen to the radio and have those cassette players, and try to record songs back and forth. And I really got my start. I went to a radio station where I lived in North Carolina and told them that they should hire me. And they did to take out the trash and do some things. And I learned how to run a radio control board, and they let me run some shows and eventually crack the mic and do the weather. And, that's kind of where, it came from. I went to school after that. Well, I was DJing in clubs over near Wake Forest University, near where I grew up. Drinking age was 18 then. I was 15 or 16, and I was the DJ in the club. So,
what are these stories these guys tell of starting so early and sneaking in these places and DJing? That's so cool.
Yes,
I had fun with that. And then, I went to school, and I was a broadcasting major, and I learned some more about you know, working in radio and doing those sorts of things. And so I've been around it my whole life. I, you know, in and out, being a mobile DJ, for about the last 18 or 20 years, up until COVID hit, I mean, it was my full-time, you know, highest percentage of the money that I earned every year was being a DJ and a host and what I call an entertainment designer. You know, somebody that helps people create amazing events. You know, DJing is just one of the functions that I did. But yeah, I mean, it gets in your blood, as you know, and it's something you always want to be around.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now that I ran this banner and you didn't gave us a little rundown, but there was some other interesting stuff you do too. Not like
oh yeah, and that's yeah. what I wanted yeah, to touch on ahead. Because yeah, you know, we've met two people that we've interviewed that they have more jobs than about 10 of us, and that's yeah. yourself and the mayor. So
yeah. So what are those other jobs you got? I know. I don't want to call them out, but just run down that list for us right quick.
Well, right now, so I mean, I run a restaurant. I mean, that takes up a lot of my time. So I'm involved in that. I've always been involved in side projects. So I do that. I do some voiceover work for commercials. So I do that a little bit. I produce a few events. I used to do a lot more of that, like large scale concerts and things like that. But I produce a couple of festival events throughout the year. So those are the main things that I've done so many jobs in my life. This is not a lie. A lot of people think it is when I tell them this, but I was paid. So it's and did it for about a year. I received the paycheck. I was a professional salty snack taster.
And what did you do?
Absolutely true.
You just went around and tasted salty snacks.
No, there's a food lab near where I live, and the guys that the Lay's brand was a client of theirs, and you had to actually go and you know pass a test a sensory test that you could you know. Tell the nuance between things, and they'd ship their in there, and you know we'd score them so the factories knew how they were doing. So I got paid to eat potato chips, so that's pretty cool. So I've done a lot of things, and of course you know being involved with Midwest DJs Live is a full time job, and then there's another group that that I work with called the NAC North American Collective of DJs and MCs. It's a group of guys that get together once a month and then once a year in person. And it's a group that I started along with Paul Hoke and Michael Durham and a couple other guys about 8-9 years ago. So yeah, I help still be involved in that group. So
yeah, I know Paul yeah, well. So,
yeah. Yeah. Do you? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're leaving out my favorite thing that you do in December.
Well, there's another that you're right. I do have another kind of big thing, November and December. I have a holiday character business, and I do Santa Claus portrayal during a lot of December. So I didn't have enough to do, so I figured I need one more thing at the end of the year. And yeah, it's crazy. That thing's blown up the past few years, but I do Santa. I perform as Santa the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra with the local baseball team that we have here. It's a AAA minor league team, do a bunch of corporate work. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, there's a lot of similarities. We won't go into it right now, but a lot of things that I learned to do as a DJ and entertainment designer, as a performer, are the same things that you can do to be successful in odd other niche jobs like being Santa. So it's, there's a lot of things to carry over.
Yeah, it is so funny how many serial entrepreneurs that we have.
I love it because what that shows is there's no excuse.
Yeah.
If you want to do something, there's nothing stopping you but you.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse, and I applaud you for for staying active. So when you play Santa, fake beard or real? Fake or real beard?
Well, you know, controversial subject in the Santa world, right? The guys that have
Yes.
The guys that grow their own beard, you know, they think that they there's a difference in how they portray things. But so I have a real beard, but I didn't grow it.
Oh, okay.
I got you. All right.
So do you glue it on, or is it, you know, is it a
Yeah, glue it on. So yeah, it's a theatrical glue. You know, you glue it on with spirit gum, basically, and you know, it's this thing is custom made for me, so it's not something that you just go buy at a store. But it, you know, so it fits, and if you put it on right, you know, people can't tell. I've got clients that have no idea that it's not that I take it off at the end of the day.
I've never had little kids pull it on it.
Oh yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen very a couple times. A couple have tried, but that doesn't happen very often. No. You know, it's like you said at the top of the show, you got to control the conversation. So same thing when you're in that role.
One more thing came to mind. How do you feel about Midwest DJs being sold out, and what is that number that y'all are calling sold out? I mean, is the first it's been sold out, or?
Yeah, it's the first time it's ever been sold out as far as I know. And, you know, I mean, legitimately sold out. Well, thank you very much. I mean, you know, we'd like to have more seats, and we're already making plans for next year to, you know, find some ways to get more people into the room. But yeah, the way the room was configured and we set it up and made it some commitments, you know, all the seats that we have are full, and, you know, we sold up, you know, we found a way to squeeze a few more in a couple weeks ago, but, that's it. I mean, we're legitimately 100% sold out. So I know there's some people that would like to join us that don't have a ticket, and you know, I'd love to find a way to include them, and we will have recordings of all the presentations available afterwards. But you know what I can tell people, just like for every show that you're interested in, I mean, get your tickets early. This year at the show, yeah, we'll make an announcement about
to say that. Get your tickets early. Stop waiting to the last minute. Oh, I'm going, you know, get your tickets. Come on in.
Yeah. Sounds absolutely. Like the best gift out to the ones that come first.
Yeah. Come early. You get your best gift early.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll give a great price that will not be any lower than you can buy it when the end of the show. So whether you're at the show or not, you know, take advantage of that offer, get those tickets. And, you know, it helps us plan too, when we know so many are sold at first. You know, it helps us make a plan for who to make room for and all that. But we'd love to have as many people that want to come and experience Midwest DJs Live as they can to join us next year. And but really looking forward to all the folks that are going to come up, including you guys, for this weekend. You know, we've done I say we've done half the work, because the other half is actually delivering on the promise of what the show is going to be. And we've got that to do this coming week.
All right. Well,
so what is your total number so far, Rich?
I mean, we'll have in total, we'll have somewhere north of 300 people there. You know, we're not a Mex show like out there in Vegas with thousands and thousands of people, but we'll be somewhere in there, you know, with sponsors and presenters and support staff and, you know, guys like you that'll be there doing their thing. That's that'll get us to that about that number.
Right, that's a good number. Some of us can't sell out a room of 10 trying to educate. So, you know what I mean? It's tough to get 20 DJs in Dallas, the Metroplex, to come together and educate. So I fully understand, and we most of the time it's free. Ours
are
free.
You know, and sometimes, from my experience, each show is unique.
Yes,
and it's unique in what it offers.
Yep.
And that's a great number for what you're trying to do, because I think sometimes the bigger it gets, sometimes things get lost.
Yeah.
Information gets lost. So I'm a fan of all of the shows and their uniqueness. But I can appreciate being in an intimate setting any day.
Yeah. Well, no doubt. I mean, you're right. Every show that's out there that's running kind of has its own vibe and its own kind of feel to it. And, you know, we kind of one of the things that we get great feedback on at Midwest for a few years is that family environment, that more intimate thing, that smaller thing. And we do want to grow the show, because the more people that you have, the more dollars you have to work with to make great things happen. But we're also very cognizant of, you know, how big we're going to get. And it's not much bigger. I mean, we don't want to turn into, you know, something that loses that feel. So it's a balancing act for sure.
So now there's only 298 tickets left for next year, because we'll be there. So you guys need to you got 298 tickets to get before next year is over. So start getting your tickets today, Wednesday when the show is over. So,
and this is another important question before we let you go, Rich. And I'm pretty sure this will be in motion. Will there be specials for the following year, for 2025? Available at the show?
Absolutely. We'll announce a ticket price at the end of the show on Tuesday that will be valid for a very short window. So we want people to take advantage of them. We put it out there because, like I said, it helps us plan for what's going to happen for the next year. But we always make this guarantee: if you make an investment and come into the show with that special, I guarantee you 100% there will not be another ticket that we sell that's less expensive than that during the rest of the year. So you know that you're walking away with the lowest price.
You will get that information on our show Tuesday night when we go live.
After the show, all of that information.
Yeah, we'll drop it so you can hit it.
And some.
Yeah. But we're going to be very respectful of your time, sir. Thank you for jumping on with us. We can't wait to see you guys Sunday. We'll be waiting on the car with our little sign, 2 DJs, 1 mic, pick us up. You know, we'll be on the side of the airport waiting on our ride. So we can't wait to see y'all, have fun, get to meet everybody and, you know, meet the board members, the rest of the board members, and talk to everybody.
Well, I can't remember if we're sending a Stretch Escalade to pick you up or if it's Toyota Camry, but somebody will be there to pick you up at the airport.
As long as you don't pick me up in a Pinto, I'm okay.
Well, we thank you again, sir. Like, you got all the flight information, but I will send you a reminder, son.
Yes,
sir. We'll be there. And I really do appreciate the support from all the folks that work on and all the folks that attend Midwest DJs Live. Thank you so much for your support of the show.
We'll see everybody on Sunday.
Yes.
Sounds great.
All right. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
All right.